All right, we'll continue moving forward. We're now joined by the driver of the number 11 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, Denny Hamlin. Once again, we'll get straight to questions. We'll go to Bob, then Jordan, then Jenna.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Your haulers doesn't have a lot of sponsorship on it, and we kind of knew your sponsorship situation, but it seems startling to see it. I'm curious what you thought when you saw it and if it brings any additional concern.
I mean, it's tough out there. I mean, sponsorship's hard to come by, and certainly, you know, while it's such an important time in our sport to recognize that, you know, that the sponsorship dollars are not flowing like they used to, for sure. Everyone's had to adjust quite a bit, and obviously, you know, you've got, you know, there's certain aspects that JGR has to price in to, you know, their pricing as well, that it's probably tough. So it's, I don't know, it's part of it, but certainly having one sponsor for 20 years, you know, made things pretty easy, and now it's all kind of catching up. So it's certainly, you know, is it concerning from my end? Maybe a little bit. But not, you know, it's probably more concerning from JGR's standpoint.
Hey, Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. I want to ask you this from the team owner's perspective about pertaining to the Clash. Where would you like to see it go? Do you want to see it kind of continue this model of, you know, short track kind of thing? Or is there something more you can do in terms of costs and everything else and what the future of this race should be?
Well, I think the I'm personally in the boat of I liked it at Daytona. It was just a really good warm up for the 500. I thought it provided, you know, tons of storylines for, you know, the 500. But it is a little bit different nowadays, right? The racing itself on super speedways is different. You know, you used to back then. If you saw someone really dominate the Clash, it was like, all right, they've got a great handling car. They're going to be tough to beat. Doesn't matter where they start. Now we know that it is such a track position race. I don't know that you'll get the direct correlation, but it certainly could bring up some hype back to the 500. So I'm probably in that boat, or, you know, really anywhere that helps, you know, obviously grow and get some excitement going for the season. So I don't really have a bucket list place where I would want to put it. Internationally, I think it's maybe just from the standpoint that there's probably a little bit more time to prepare for the race teams, right? It's not in the middle of the season. So, you know, and then you've got the gap after that for the Super Bowl for you to get back, get reset, and go for the 500. So, yeah, perhaps.
To ask you about the state of the sport, obviously what happened in the playoffs last year, there's a lot of controversy there. There is a lawsuit hanging over the sport as it enters a new season. Just your perspective on where NASCAR is at and what it needs to do going forward into 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really crucial year all around. You know, there's a lot of, you know, big decisions that definitely need to get made, and certainly feel like, you know, it's a crucial year with the new TV partners, you know, getting our fans to transition over there into the streaming platforms. That's going to be big. So certainly I think it's just a huge year. You're going to have to find a way to get everyone to transition into, you know, and kind of rally around the new type of media partners that we have, and, you know, hopefully rely on them to help grow the sport as well. So I think that it's just a crucial year all around.
Go to Jenna and then Kelly.
Denny, I heard through the grapevine that you've got some strong opinions on this 41st driver elite
I've provision. Said nothing about it.
Another reporter told me he had a phone interview with you and that you had many opinions.
Really?
Is that incorrect?
Hmm.
Okay, well, anyway.
I don't recall having an opinion on it, but
okay,
I have
Okay, do
an
you have an
on
opinion on it,
sure,
that you want to share with me?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think, it reeps of desperation. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how nice you can really say it. It just feels like you're really trying to get any kind of headline you can to be relevant. And I don't love it.
Okay, well, it exists.
To me, it's a short-term gain, long-term loss. I just think that you're the premier stock car series in the U.S., the premier racing sport in the U.S., be the big boys, you know, and force people to come in here and get their credentials and do it the natural way. I don't think it's going to be a big factor really anywhere other than Daytona. But just simply put, saying that someone has a name that interests you and that they're going to have an automatic bid into the highest form of motorsports in the U.S., I don't love it.
It does exist, though. Is there any driver you'd like to see come try to get in? No?
Not really.
Cool.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Racer.com. Denny, all these questions about the Clash, talking about the Clash, whether it's at L.A. or here, it seems like a lot of it is around the venues, the markets, the history, the feeling behind it. So has this event now moved away from whether the racing even matters anymore? Is this event more about something bigger than what we see on the racetrack?
Yeah, I mean, I always think that the racing itself is a important factor. It's what, you know, while the race is going on, you're going to get, there's either going to be a social media buzz around positive around the racing or not. So I still think that that's a important thing. But you've got a great point in that it is, you know, it is something else. And as far as like the spectacle itself, you know, it is an exhibition type race. And so I think it's just kind of a primer to let people know that we're racing again. Truthfully, I think that that's kind of, you know, LA had its own place and I thought it was, you know, really well done. And here it looks like, you know, they did a really good job with it. So I think each place has its certain relevance, right? And I think this place has its relevance as well with the history. So it just seems like moving it around and changing things is what's stirring the interest, not necessarily what's happening on track, which is what you're saying.
Go to Reed next.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire. You mentioned Daytona. You've got three wins there. How significant would it be for you to get number four, considering there are only two guys ahead of you, two guys who have more, and then I've got a follow-up.
For the what now?
To get a fourth Daytona 500 win.
Yeah, I mean, certainly would be big all around. I mean, there's lots of really good stuff that comes with it, with the bonus points and whatnot. Yeah, there's only a select group that are really, really elite that have won those. I wish I had a bigger role in it now than what, you know, kind of what I used to have in our results and finishes. But truthfully, in the next gen, I just have struggled to just find the checkered flag, you know, at some point of the day. So I just, I don't know. It would mean a lot to me personally, obviously, and certainly put us in a really historic group there, but you know, it'll be a tough task for sure.
And you started to answer my next question, which was, is the next gen radically different in terms of the way it drives on super speedways from the previous generation?
Yeah, mainly from the drag perspective. You know, I mentioned it in another media setting, but you know, I learned so much from Dale Jr. and Tony Stewart and some of the best when I was coming into the sport, Jeff Gordon, on how they created runs and then would pull out a line and keep that run going. And you would just see them bouncing off these cars. And you really saw it kind of during the end of the 2016 Daytona 500, that last lap where we came from fourth or fifth to win it. And it was just, I was just constantly using cars around me to keep this massive run going. And now it's just, you know, you have to stay in line. You're really just hoping your line goes forward. You're almost in a traffic jam. And you're hoping that your lane is the one that has less congestion. And so it's just a different beast now. Obviously, we've seen, you know, underdog-type winners in it in the last few years. And it's just a lot of that is just where you're at. Can you cycle good in through pit road? Can you save enough fuel during the green to make your cycle shorter? So we still have an important role, but it's our role is actually more off the track than it is, you know, on the racing surface.
All right. Any other questions for Denny? Let's go to Lee here.
I'm coming. Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com. Curious if adding the three additional Toyotas has helped at all with Toyota's effort overall at Daytona, because in the past there haven't been enough people to draft with.
Yeah, it should. It certainly should. I mean, you know, we worked really well together at Talladega till we ended up crashing each other, and then from that point on, it was like, can we really all get on the same page? But certainly, and the power in numbers allows us to at least create our own strategy. You know, we were always at the mercy of the other manufacturers and trying to figure out which, either was it Ford or Chevy, was going to pit when we wanted to them to pit, and we had to react to that. Where I think we probably have enough numbers now that we can actually just create our own strategy. So that will certainly be beneficial. But you know, when it comes down to the end of the race, it's a matter of, you know, kind of who's left. And I used to love being super selfish in those types of races because I would just use anyone. I didn't care whether they were a teammate or not to try to get a win. But so much with the manufacturer alliances now that, you know, it's really, really difficult to break through that.
We'll finish with you.
Are you clear on the manufacturer alliances for Daytona on what's allowed and what's not allowed after Martinsville?
I think so. I think that speedways would be status quo. I don't think that I saw anything in the rules that would make me think that things would change from a manufacturer standpoint there. You know, they have their own meetings and they say, don't push this, you know, group, push our group instead. And you're not going to stop those words from being spoken. But that's just something you're not going to put back in the box now. It's just, that's just kind of what we got.
Thank you. All right, Danny, thank you for your time. Okay. Appreciate you coming in.